May only the truth be spoken, and may only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's magnificent reading from John's Gospel begins with these words. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Note that as John describes this scene to us, the very first information that he gives us is that this scene took place early on the first day of the week. The Jewish week is based on the ancient Genesis accounts of creation. There we read that at the beginning of God's act of creation, God spoke physical existence into being with the words, "Let there be light." And that beginning of creation is called by God in Genesis 1, verse 3, the first day. On the first day, light shone out of darkness. On the subsequent second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, and sixth day, the creation of the entire cosmos, including the creation of life and human life, is described. The creative work of God is said to come to an end after the sixth day. That's Genesis 1, verse 31. When God looks over all his creation and he pronounces it very good. But the story is not finished. There is a seventh day in which God rests and decrees rest to human beings. Human beings who are called to rest like God, for they are to be his image bearers in the world. In this Shabbat, or Sabbath, the principle of rest and renewal is introduced as an integral part of God's good creation. Therefore, the Hebrew conception of a seven-day week has its roots in the creation itself. This is why certain numbers of highly symbolic qualities in the Bible, the number seven, as in the seven churches, or the seven seals in the book of Revelation, stands for perfection or wholeness, because the process of creation and rest took 7 days. The number six often symbolizes incompleteness, disobedience, or evil, because it is a week without a Sabbath. Hence the demonic number in Revelation, 666. If you will permit me a little sidebar, the issue of Sabbath rest remains relevant, even in highly secular Quebec. In a March 31st article in the Montreal Gazette, it was reported that with an upswing in COVID-19 cases and more deaths, Premier François Legault announced nearly all stores, including grocery stores, would close on Sundays for the month of April to give workers under intense pressure a rest. A rest on a Sunday, that's a thought. This morning's Easter Gospel reading is from John's Gospel, a Gospel which, like Genesis, begins at the creation. There we read that the Word made flesh, Jesus the Lord, was with God in the beginning, and that through him all things were made. In other words, John's Gospel begins by showing us that Christ was present not only on the first day of creation, but on the first day of the week. The Bible tells us that the original creation was perfect until human sin, spurred on by the power of evil, caused profound damage to the whole created order. This damage went to the very core of reality itself and subjected the entire cosmos to the power of evil, marring the image of God in human beings, and dooming humanity to the tyranny and inevitability of death. that is not the end of the story. In fact, the rest of the Bible can be said to describe the healing and rescue of creation through the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one who is present on the first day. He is the one who became one of us, entering into time and space, proclaiming that the kingdom of God was coming, in which God would transform and renew the whole creation. Fittingly, and most profoundly, the New Testament tells us that he finished his earthly work on the sixth day, a Friday, when he died an agonizing death on the cross for us. Then, on the seventh day, Saturday, the Sabbath, Jesus lay dead in the tomb, in a kind of horrible caricature of Sabbath rest. The tyranny of evil and death appeared to have prevailed, and humanity seemed to be doomed to suffering, fear, and obliteration. But, then, in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, we read, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance." The first day of the week, the day of creation. Mary Magdalene would be the first to discover that the old certainties of sin and death were no more. Because on that first day of Easter Sunday, God had begun a new creation. A creation which, starting with Jesus, would eventually transform the whole cosmos into what God had originally intended it to be. In fact, the first Easter reveals something so extraordinary and so important that scholar and Bishop N.T. Wright says that we can think of Easter Sunday as the eighth day of the week. Or to put it another way, Easter Sunday is the first day of the new creation. And Mary Magdalene was the first to bear witness to that new creation. And so, for 20 centuries, Christians have gathered not just on Easter Sunday, but on every Sunday, every first day of the week, because the resurrection is central to who we are as Christians. You could say that we continue to meet on Sundays because since the resurrection, the whole universe is now living in the first day of a new creation. Or if you like, we are living in the eighth day. As singer-songwriter Steve Bell says, "In the resurrection of Jesus, we perceive what could be considered the big bang of God's new creation, exploding, as it were, as a renewing, recreating power in the midst of the old." It's natural for us to wonder what the new creation will be like. Of course, we can't know until the day we are fully there. The best way to get some idea is to look at what the New Testament tells us about the risen Christ. We are told that he is alive and will never die again. His appearances to his disciples in the upper room reveal that he is no longer limited by the constraints of time and space, but is able to suddenly appear or disappear. He is physically present. He is not some sort of disembodied spirit. He eats and drinks with his disciples. And it is him. It is his beloved voice and his beloved face which Mary and the other disciples recognize. Furthermore, the Bible tells us that this glorious resurrection will not just be limited to him, but that he is the first fruits. This means that because of his resurrection, we can live in the hope of our own resurrections. St. Paul writes extensively about this in Romans 8. In verse 11, he says, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." Let me make this clear. When we talk about resurrection, we are talking about something much better than the idea that when we die, our souls go to heaven. Yes, we will be with Jesus when we die. After all, Jesus told the thief on the cross, "This day you will be with me in paradise." But it's even better than that. For the Bible makes it clear that at the resurrection, God will transform everything we are, spirit, soul, and body, into the being He always intended us to be. We will be real. We will be more real than we are now. And we will have faces and voices and personalities. And we will recognize the dear faces and voices and personalities of those we love. But we will be transformed. We will have what the Bible calls spiritual bodies. Perhaps it's a good thing that the Bible doesn't tell us much more about this. For as C.S. Lewis has famously written, "If in our mortal and fallen state we caught a glimpse of what God eventually intends us to look like, we would be tempted to worship it." And the news is even better than that of our eventual resurrection and transformation. For the Bible teaches that eventually all of the created order, the heavens and the earth, the galaxies, the subatomic world, the spiritual realms, all the life forms, including the coronavirus, will be transformed into the glorious creation originally envisaged by God. God is making everything new. Yes, if we look around us, we see plenty of the old creation. There is pain, suffering, cruelty, evil, and death. And as we are presently acutely aware, there is plague, pestilence, and infection. Realities of the human experience that have been with us from the beginning. It is important that we conscientiously perform the important hygienic practices of washing and social distancing as encouraged by the medical professionals among us. Such practices are ways of loving our neighbors and loving the God whose image our neighbors bear. It is also critically important that we pray for those who are ill, for those who are dying, those who care for the ill, medical researchers, those who grieve, and those who are afraid. It is also vital that we remember that the virus is part of the old creation whose days are numbered. However, the good news is even better than the end of a plague. For if there was no COVID-19, all who died of it would have died of something else. We will all die eventually. In this fallen creation, we all live under the shadow of death. But the resurrection of Jesus gives us the promise of the day when we and all God's creation will be freed from death in all of its forms, forever. For in Christ, we have been given the sure and certain hope of eternal life. And what does that mean for you and for me? Why, everything, everything. For without the resurrection, there is no new creation, and everything about us and the cosmos is ultimately doomed to futility. our deepest loves, our noblest acts, our wisest insights will all end in forgetfulness and nothingness. And all that is beautiful and magnificent in the cosmos will die in the eternal cold and lifeless residue of the universe. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is risen. And He is the seal and the guarantee of the new creation. Now everything we do and all that is matters. Our relationships of love, our acts of kindness, our acts of creativity, all that is beautiful in the world, every act of forgiveness, every act of healing, every attempt to create fairness or justice, every attempt to preserve and protect this beautiful planet, every attempt to alleviate suffering through medical research, all that is done to the glory of God will be gathered up and transformed and incorporated into the new creation, a creation that will never end. Because of Jesus, because of His death on the cross and His glorious resurrection, this new creation, this eighth day, is offered as a gift to all who will receive it. Many of you know that I am retiring on June the 1st. As you can imagine, this precipitates a lot of inner reflection and stock-taking. It has occurred to me that my experience of ordained ministry has been deeply rooted in the glorious reality of the resurrection. In 34 years of ordained ministry, I will have been responsible for worship services for 1,768 first days, Sundays, 1,196 of those Sundays at St. Augustine's. And of course, 34 of those Sundays have been Easter Sundays. You can double those numbers if you include Easter Vigil services. During my years of ordained ministry, I have had the privilege of being with the sick and with the dying on many occasions. If you asked me what was the most common subject of conversation at those times, it would be the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. During these years, I have had the honor of presiding at many funerals and memorial services. And what was the usual subject of my funeral homilies? Well, of course, the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Christian ministry, and indeed all Christian life, from baptism until we enter fully into Christ's presence, is rooted firmly in the resurrection. For by God's grace, we are a resurrection people. We are people of the first day, or shall I say, the eighth day. If there is a message that I hope will be remembered by any who have heard me speak of the resurrection, it is this. It's all true. What Mary Magdalene discovered on that first Easter day is true. You can depend on that truth in good times and, yes, in bad times. You can build your lives on that truth. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.